From the land of Grand Teton University in Urbana, Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 10th day of June 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets and tomorrow's USDA WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates Report, with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Stephen Platt will be here, too, to look at the agricultural energies. He's at Archer Financial Services in Chicago, Illinois. We'll take up the weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, as we close out our time together. And along the way, we'll look at how the USDA state statisticians view crop conditions in their regions. And it all happens on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day mostly lower in the grains. The oilseeds, however, were higher. July corn futures today at $4.45 and a half were down 5 and a half cents. September at $4.41 and a quarter, 6 and a quarter lower. And December corn today, $4.45, down a nickel for the new crop. March at $4.55 and a half, down 4 and a quarter. And July at $4.68 and three quarters. 3 and three quarters lower. July soft red winter wheat at $6 a penny and a quarter, 11 and a quarter lower. And the hard red July down 7 and three quarters at $7.26. Both of those, of course, are the harvest month. Soybeans now, July contract, $14.62 and a half. We change to green and things are up 5 and a half cents there. September at $12.70 and a quarter, 3 and a quarter cents higher. And November beans up 5 and a quarter at $12.29 and a half. January soybeans, $12.36, up 5 and a quarter. March at $12.41 and three quarters, up 6. May up 6 as well. And the July of next year, 6 and a half cents higher. It finished at $12.48 and a half. July bean meal up $2.30 at $4.84.50. July bean oil at $38.94, down 34 cents. Live cattle futures from the CME Group in the August contract at $143.40, up 12 and a half cents per 100 pounds. The August feeder cattle, $205, that is, and 17 and a half cents, up $1.65. And the August, or rather June, lean hogs at $115.30. They're up a dollar. July futures, though, are down 80 cents at the end of the day at $125.15 for the lean hogs in that July contract, 100 pounds. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It does come to you from willag.org, willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil for the day, $104.35 a barrel, down 6 cents. July gasoline on the RBOB, that's the wholesale price, 0.9 cents lower at $2.97.5. Ethanol at $2.14.5, a penny and 0.3 cents lower. And the spread between those two is 83 cents wide now. That's 0.3 cents narrower, or wider rather, than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $4.53.5, 11 cents lower. And diesel fuel at $2.88.6, down just about 0.5 cents or 0.5 cents for the day. Gold futures at $1,259.80 an ounce, up $6.20, and the U.S. dollar trading at 80.81 on the delay. That's up 0.16 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Occasional showers, some rainfall, a few thunderstorms around, a high of 71 degrees, east winds at about 11 miles an hour, gusting to 15, chance of rainfall in the area set at 80%. Outside of our studios, we've had 0.9 inch of rainfall so far in the last 24-hour period or over the storm track. Tonight, occasional showers and some thunderstorms. Those will continue through 1 a.m., then a chance of showers, low of 63 degrees, 90% chance of rainfall tonight, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms tomorrow, a cloudy high of 74 degrees, and Wednesday night, mostly cloudy and a low of 60. No rainfall on Wednesday evening. Thursday, showers, though, continue or return after 1 in the afternoon. Mostly sunny skies otherwise, a high of 83 degrees. And Thursday night, mostly cloudy and a low of 60. On Friday, sunny skies, 76 degrees. Friday night, clear and 55. On Saturday, sunny skies and 81 degrees. As we finish out our week and start to Sunday, again, sunny skies and 84. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. It is a service of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
It is the 10th day of June, 2014. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us today to take a look at what happened in Chicago at the CME Group is Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the marketplace, what farmers are thinking, and it's probably not pretty other than, hey, rainfall makes grain.
Rain does make grain. We got a report tomorrow, and don't be looking for too many positive surprises for new crop because the rain is feeling like it's making grain to everybody out here looking that way. You know, we saw a little bit of pop in the bean market today. We saw, they say there was some pricing going on by China and by other end users in the beans before the report tomorrow, because that's the number that could get a little dicey, is whether we cut the carry out some more in the beans and see what's going on. So there's a little bit of pricing there that sold off at the end of the day compared to what it was. And, of course, then Brazil's CONAB raised their estimate of their 2014 corn crop, and that, along with the DDGs being canceled by China, and it looks like they're going to be canceled for the future, kept the corn market under pressure and took us right back down on support at that 445 in both the July and the D's corn time.
It seems to me, I did recall that or see somewhere that CONAB also lowered the Brazilian soybean crop. Is that correct?
They did that. I didn't think that was in today's report, too, but I don't know. I think they did lower that a little bit.
Okay, so as you look forward into this marketplace then, producers are thinking to themselves, I'm sure at this point, boy, the rain's going to make the crops really jump. It's really good, and it looks like this could turn out to be a very good year. I'll have more grain to sell. I wish I could sell it at a higher price. Any advice to them about what they might be able to do, if anything at all?
Well, right in here, of course, if we break through this support level in the corn, it looks like we will go on down. But, you know, we've already priced a fair amount of our corn for our customers here. If you haven't priced anything, then I think we got to look for a little bit of a summer weather rally before we get into doing too much. But, you know, we're a little bit hesitant here as to be pricing. But down another dime or something, we might actually be taking a shot at buying a little bit.
Yeah, that was 435 on the December contract would be, what, the previous low, right?
And down in that range, why you know, for end users, why we're looking at maybe owning a little corn in that 435 to 438 range.
You mentioned that USDA might maybe consider changing the carry out for soybeans. That would be for this year. It's already down at 130 million bushels, if I remember correctly. It would be pretty hard for them to make that much tighter than that, I would think.
You know, the average guess is 127. Not a lot down, but it is a little down. And, you know, as we see China sort of pull back here on the DDGs, one of the thoughts were that they thought that would maybe their crush margins have went down. DDGs are higher in protein, and they're thinking that maybe a little more meal might be used in their country for that, and also help them along with their idea of selling some of their reserve corn out to start rotating stocks. So that doesn't bode well for the beans to continue the export pace we're seeing to China.
And one last thing before I let you go, probably ought to take up those $200 cattle. I see the August, September, October, and November are all above that level in the feeder cattle now.
Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, we thought that was a target, and the target we're hearing out there now is 214 to 215 on those. As the price of corn goes down, that is very possible.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That is Wayne Nelson with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Your director of agricultural programming, Dave Dickey, is here now with today's agricultural news.
Brazilian crop agency CONAB today trimmed its forecast for the country's soy crop following slightly worse weather conditions in some regions. The agency forecast a soy harvest of 86.1 million tons for the 2013-14 season, compared with its May forecast of 86.6 million tons. The agency raised its forecast for the total Brazilian corn crop to 77.9 million tons from the May forecast of 75.2 million tons. The effects of China's announcement yesterday that it will stop issuing permits of imports of U.S. DDGs are yet not known. The Chinese government announced that it was going to stop the import of DDGs due to the risk of feedstuffs that could contain the MIR-162 trait in corn. China does appear to be turning to other sources of feed this year. China has purchased much more U.S. sorghum, nearly 2.5 million metric tons so far in the 2013-14 marketing year. And China has also been soliciting corn from Ukraine and other countries as well since MIR-162 was detected in U.S. grains last fall.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. One other note on the day that comes from the news out of Washington, D.C., where President Obama has signed the Water Resources Reform and Development Act of 2014, the final reauthorization bill, which will improve the reliability and efficiency of the U.S. inland waterway system, is commonly known as WRDA. The next step in the process, according to the National Corn Growers Association and many other farm organizations in the United States, is to pass the diesel user fee. With the final reauthorization bill signed into law, NCGA says it is urging Congress now to quickly move to address the proposed increase to the diesel fuel user fee, which would provide additional revenue to the Inland Waterways Trust Fund. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 92% of the corn crop has emerged around the nation compared to the rolling five-year average of 90%. 75% of that crop is said to be in good or excellent condition compared to the 76% last week and the 63% from the previous year. By the way, it might be important to segregate the good and excellent conditions out. This week, 15% of the crop is in excellent condition. And while this week's total number was down 1 percentage point from the previous week, the excellent condition was actually up 2 percentage points. Now, let's turn our attention to the soybeans, where 87% of the crop has been sown compared to the rolling five-year average of 81%. 71% of the crop is emerged. That's well ahead of the rolling five-year average of 62%. The first condition rating of the year has been released. It said that the soybean crop around the nation is in 74% good or excellent condition. Now, here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Katie Andel, agricultural statistician for the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office. In spite of rain during the week, corn and soybean progress remained ahead of normal in Iowa during the 4.0 days suitable for fieldwork. Farmers in southwest Iowa were concerned about the damage caused by the June 3rd storm. Northwest and far western portions of the state saw heavy rain and some high winds on Sunday the 1st. Tuesday brought large hail, rain, and high winds to parts of southwestern Iowa. Thunderstorms appeared in the southeast two-thirds of the state on Saturday. Total rain from the week varied from 0.43 inches at Cedar Falls to 7.3 inches at Red Oak. Average precipitation for the week was 2.33 inches, double the normal amount. This was the highest weekly average precipitation since late May 2013. Increasing 5 and 4 percentage points from last week, topsoil and subsoil moisture rated 89 and 73%, adequate to surplus, respectively. 98% of the corn acreage has emerged, 18 percentage points ahead of last year, but 4 points ahead of the 5-year average, with 82% of the corn crop rated in good to excellent condition. With soybean planting nearing completion, 87% of the crop has emerged, 3 weeks in front of the previous year and just over 1 week ahead of normal. The season's first soybean condition rating came in at 81% good to excellent. All hay condition rated 71% good to excellent. Iowa's pasture conditions rated 64% good to excellent. Livestock conditions were reported as average. This is Katie Andel reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois, with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Illinois was warm and wet last week. The state average rainfall was slightly over 2 inches and was more than 1 inch above normal. Topsoil moisture supplies increased and are now rated as 1% very short, 6% short, 81% adequate, and 12% surplus. Corn and soybeans both continue to progress ahead of normal pace. Corn emerged is now at 97% compared to 88% last year and 91% for the 5-year average. The condition of the crop was reported as 3% in very poor to poor condition, 23% in fair condition, and 74% in good to excellent condition. Soybean planting reached 92% complete compared to 60% 1 year ago and 78% normally. 80% of soybean acres have emerged compared to 41% last year and 60% for the 5-year average. The condition of the crop was rated as 2% in very poor to poor condition, 22% in fair condition, and 76% in good to excellent condition. Wheat headed is now at 93% compared to 98% normally. 72% of alfalfa hay first cutting is complete compared to 68% normally, and 61% of other hay has been cut. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop progress and condition report. Wet conditions continue to delay final planting efforts for Minnesota farmers. There were 3.0 days suitable for field work across the state during the week. Other field activities for the week including spraying for weed control and side dressing nitrogen in cornfields. Topsoil moisture supplies rated 0% very short, 0% short, 75% adequate, and 25% surplus. 96% of the expected corn acreage has been planted, that's 1 percentage point behind the 5-year average. Corn emergence was 89%, that's 2 points behind average. Corn condition ratings were 0% very poor, 2% poor, 18% fair, 65% good, and 15% excellent. Soybean planting was 86% complete, that's 3 points behind the 5-year average. 65% of the soybean crop has emerged, that's up 27 percentage points from the previous week. The first soybean condition rating for the year came in at 0% very poor, 2% poor, 21% fair, 68% good, and 9% excellent. The first cutting of alfalfa hay was 19% complete, that's 13 points more than the previous week, but 30 points behind average. Pasture conditions improved and were rated 0% very poor, 3% poor, 19% fair, 64% good, and 14% excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Glenn Goodrich with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending June 8, 2014. Plans to spray crops and side-dress corn this week were foiled by pervasive rain starting Monday and lasting the majority of the week. Temperatures range from 48 degrees to 91 degrees Fahrenheit for the week. Daily averages range from 65 to 75 degrees, deviating between 2 degrees below to 7 degrees above normal. Precipitation totals for the week ranged anywhere between 0.39 and 4.65 inches, leaving some areas in the south of the state with as much as a 9.60 inch surplus for the growing season. Corn, soybeans, winter wheat, and pasture in elevated and well-drained soil are all benefiting from the precipitation and warm temperatures. With corn planting mostly concluded, corn emergence now stands at 93% versus 88% last year and 85% 5-year average. Soybeans planted was wrapping up this week at 88% compared to 85% last year and 80% 5-year average. Soybean emergence was not far behind at 76% versus last year's 67% and 63% 5-year average. Some corn and soybeans in flood-prone areas have had to be replanted as much as 2 times now, especially in the south of the state where heavy rains have persisted for several weeks. Winter wheat has finished jointing, and winter wheat heading is almost finished as well at 93%, versus 94% last year and 97% five-year average. Winter wheat coloring is at 26% statewide, and regionally is 45% in the south, 20% in central, and 11% in the north. Some hay was able to be cut and baled in the latter half of the week, but conditions were not ideal for drying in most parts of the state. In addition to their other activities, farmers are also hauling grain and mowing roadsides as conditions permit. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending June 8, 2014. This is Glenn Goodrich reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians from Minnesota, Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa for their weekly updates of crop progress in their regions. You can always find them online at willag.org Tuesday afternoon under the Closing Market Report heading.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason on the phone line to take a look at the agricultural energies, as he does once a month with us, is Stephen Platt. He's at Archer Financial Services in Chicago this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Stephen.
Good afternoon.
It's been a rainy day here in East Central Illinois. In your part of the world, in Chicago, has there been rain on LaSalle Street?
I don't get out much, to tell the truth. I wish I did. It does look a little bit overcast and dreary, but it gives us time to reflect about these markets. In terms of the energy complex, certainly this market has not done a lot today. It was higher early, but has since settled back toward unchanged. I look back at the past month and tried to assess what I kind of said back then in terms of trying to be negative this market, and certainly that has not worked. Crude has jumped up about $4. The gasoline has jumped up about 12 cents. Heating oil has diesel, has been pretty much unchanged, while nat gas has actually fallen about 22 cents. And certainly from a producer standpoint, one really does have to watch your costs of inputs, be it diesel or natural gas or even propane. Certainly, as we move through the summer, I'm becoming a little bit less enamored with the short side. Certainly, that market's upside potential is probably limited. But on the downside, we're probably also limited by the fact that inventory levels probably will begin showing a seasonal decline, and we'll probably also see Cushing stocks, which is the main delivery point, also continue to decline. So these factors will probably help support WTI, which is our main basis for the crude oil, and also probably help support maybe the diesel market as well. So I think on breaks, probably one should look at the diesel and maybe secure some cash supplies as we for harvest and possibly gasoline, probably as if we should fall back sharply. While nat gas for drying, probably some further weakness could probably be a good opportunity to maybe secure some supplies as well.
Well, we'll check with you in just about a month again and see whether we still have that $100 to $104 crude oil, okay?
Well, look forward to it.
Okay, thanks so much, Steve.
Thank you.
Stephen Platt with Archer Financial Services. He joins us from his Chicago office, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes to take a look at the weather forecast. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming will join us.
It's National Black Cow Day. Credit for the treat often goes to Frank Wisner of Cripple Creek, Colorado, who in 1893 was inspired to float a scoop of vanilla ice cream on top of his glass of root beer after glimpsing the illumination of snow on top of Cow Mountain outside his home. By the way, the drink is also known as a brown cow. On this day in agricultural history in 1869, frozen food was shipped long distance for the first time. Frozen Texas beef was shipped by steamship to New Orleans, frozen by refrigeration equipment invented by John Gorey. The meat was eventually served in hospitals, hotels, and restaurants. Success in the frozen beef market prompted food manufacturers to develop freezing methods of other types, culminating in Clarence Birdseye's flash freezing system that ultimately hit grocery cases in 1934. In 1952, Mylar was registered as a DuPont trademark. Mylar is a very strong polyester film that has gradually replaced cellophane. DuPont touted the polyester film's strength, heat resistance, and insulating properties. It is used as a food wrap in addition to many other non-food uses. And in 1985, in the most embarrassing moment category, Coca-Cola officials announced it was bringing back the old formula Coke to replace the new Coke nobody wanted. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support local landowners. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us, Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don, it looks like a wet 24 hours, maybe a wet week. Tell me about how much rainfall we'll receive over that time frame.
Well, I tell you, over the next 24 hours through the next 5 or 6 days, there'll be many areas that pick up 1, 2, upwards of 3 inches of rainfall. We've got a lot of systems, and when you put them all together, I think 1 to 3 inches of rain for many areas will be commonplace through this week and into the weekend, and maybe some areas getting more than that.
Is that widespread across the whole of the Corn Belt?
Yes. When you put all these systems together, most of the Corn Belt should get wet. The coverage should be pretty good, and we're really expecting that maybe some of the central and west central areas of the Corn Belt have the best chance of the most significant rain, portions of Iowa, eastern areas of Nebraska, Illinois, Missouri. Those areas, I think, especially here in the short term, will be most wet.
Looking forward to next week, Don. Do you see more rainfall?
We do. Now, I see it a little bit warmer. I see maybe the frequency of the showers and thunderstorms pulling off a little bit. But the trend in the next 10 days, the next 2 weeks, is going to be for temperatures to be close to average, if not a little bit below. And we're going to have more and more opportunities for these showers and thunderstorms to move across the Midwest. So really, steady as she goes, no major changes seen in the medium or long range term.
This precipitation would fall in amounts well above average for this time of year?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at what's falling and what we're expecting, we are trending to be above average for the month of June. Even if it dries out at the end of the month, I think we're going to find that precipitation will be above normal in many areas.
What's in store for the hard red winter wheat growing regions of the nation?
Well, I tell you, they saw in some areas some big rains over the weekend, especially the northern areas. And right now it looks like before the week's over, we're going to see some other opportunities for showers and thunderstorms in the Panhandle, portions of Kansas, some areas of southeast Colorado. They've got some other opportunities for more rain.
It is welcome, I know, because they've been very, very dry. On the other hand, they would like to harvest this year's crop. Will they dry out again soon?
Well, I think they will. That part of the country, even after big rain, can dry out fairly quickly, and I think they'll see that. But the trend, as you mentioned, those areas, very, very dry, very welcome rain, maybe ill-timed, but good news all the way around.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today, Don, and have a really good afternoon.
You too.
That is Don Day. He's with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Remember, you can find Don and all of our agricultural programming on our website at willag.org. The address again is willag.org. It's posted there in its entirety, not long after we air it on our radio stations. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.